on CHRY 105.5 FM, your community radio station. This is Amandla, an African perspective. On the line now, we are joined by Erin, who is an Eritrean activist here in Toronto, who's been working around the issue that we've covered a lot on this radio show of African migrants who find themselves in Israel and are countered with immense xenophobia and racism, and lately a new law that requires their incarceration. Hello, Erin.
Yeah, hello, Amy.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much for joining us. So I'd like to start off by asking you if you could briefly outline this kind of new law. I mean, it's not new. It was a law that Israel put in place in terms of migrants and their mandatory detention, and then struck it down, but then reenacted it just recently. I think now maybe it's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah, this is true. You know, what the Israeli government is trying to do is, for any refugee who enters to their land, they are going to arrest them for 1 year without giving them, without trial, you know. So they have to stay in this prison camp for a year. Then after that, they will be sent to another prison. That is a loose prison. So even on that area, they have to stay in a specific area. They are not allowed to go further that can help them to get employment or support themselves. So it is a kind of another prison. From small prison, they are going to go to a what you call a loose prison. So the way they are going to be treated is really inhuman, because they don't have any kind of rights. So as you know, Israel is one of the first countries who signed this convention that can protect refugees. But on that case, the Eritrean refugees, most of them are Eritreans, by the way, so they are not going to be treated as refugees. They are going to be treated as criminals or as people who infiltrated to the land of Israel. So that is going to be very, very difficult for most Eritreans who were forced to leave their country because they are not able to live in their country peacefully.
And recently, I think 2 weeks ago, maybe a bit more, we saw a huge demonstration of African migrants in Israel, in Tel Aviv, who protested against this new regulation. So can you tell us a bit about that protest and what the demands were of the protesters?
Yes, as you saw on that demonstration, most African refugees and all the people who support their cause, they joined this demonstration to let the Israeli government know what they really need. You know, they brought three demands. First of all, they want to cancel the new amendment to the anti-infiltration law that stop all arrests and release all asylum seekers and refugees. That is their first demand. And the second one is to check individual asylum claims in a fair and transparent way, according to international standards, because the way the Israeli government check the asylum seekers case is totally unacceptable. It is not transparent. They just use different tactics to avoid them from entering Israel. So they want this process to be very transparent. And the third one is, start respecting the human rights of refugees, including social rights, health, and welfare. Because most of the refugees, they don't have that luxury. They are not treated with respect. They are not provided with health care or welfare. So they are asking the Israeli government to respect the rights of every individual or every refugee who enters to the country. So those are the three demands that they brought forward in order to be amended or changed by the Israeli parliament. So those are the three demands.
And as you mentioned, this is a case of the violation of international rights. As you mentioned, Israel is a signatory to the Convention on the Rights of Refugees. So can you contextualize that within, like, this larger frame of international law and international rights and international obligation?
Yeah, you know, in 1948, all members of the United Nations, they signed this convention. This is especially Article 14. And that article clearly states every country, every member country of UN has to give protection for any asylum seeker or for any refugee. So this is very, very crucial. And as a result, most countries, they started to apply this law diligently, and we see the any refugee who goes to any country which is member of the United Nations and at the same time the signatory of this convention, they respect and they are bound by this law. And Israel is supposed to do the same thing. You know, as we all know, Israel was one of the most beneficiary on this issue because there are many Israeli refugees during the Second World War, and most countries, they were able to provide them that refuge. So as a result, most of them, they are able to save their life. Unfortunately, many of them also lost. So this is very, very crucial. So it is, if you see history a little bit back, then you can learn, you know, at one point we were all refugee, and maybe in the future, who knows, we will be refugee. So it is always good to respect that law. So that law has to be respected by all means. So Israel government, they are not supposed to play with this law, and they have to be bound. And it is very crucial. It is like a human rights issue, you know. So any individual who enters your country, you know, you have to give them that refuge. In the Eritrean case, for example, there are about 36,000 Eritreans in Israel at this moment. And all those Eritreans who came to Israel, they didn't come because they hate their country, but they were forced to leave their country because the Eritrean government, we have a very dictatorial regime in Eritrea. There is no freedom of speech, there is no freedom of movement, there is no freedom of religion, and people are not allowed even to work because they are kept in the national what you call service. We call it national slavery. So they stay in the army. They are not paid, but they are forced to work like slaves in companies owned by the ruling party, in companies owned by some Western companies like Neptune Resources, which is based in Vancouver, which is a gold. So those citizens, they were forced to work like slaves, but they don't get paid. And so what option did they have? If they try to escape, they get arrested. They could be executed at any point. So they left their country because they don't have any future in their country. So when they came to Israel, they didn't expect to be arrested. They were expecting to get protection, not detention. But unfortunately, that is what they are facing. That is really, really sad.
And Aaron, just before we close out, I wanted to ask you about the role of the diaspora. You yourself and a group of Eritrean community members organized and took part in a rally. That's where we met 2 weeks ago in front of the Israeli consulate, demanding that the consulate take your demands. And also in solidarity with the African migrants protesting in Israel. So if you could tell me a bit about what you think is the role of the diaspora in the current situation and the current plight of African migrants, Eritrean migrants in Israel. And I think it's really interesting, and I had no idea that you mentioned this gold mine that Eritreans are forced to work in that is owned by Canadians. So there's a very interesting connection there and a very interesting role, I think, of the diaspora in those regards.
You are absolutely right. You know, the Eritrean diaspora are doing their best to bring the issue of those Eritrean refugees, you know, in the front of the main page. One of the things that they do is they try to lobby governments or officials of the government or politicians just to let them know that what is going on is in Israel, what kind of challenge the Eritrean refugees. We talk about African refugees, you know, there are about 56,000 African refugees in Eritrea. You know, 6,000 out of those people are Eritrean. So that means about 80 or 90%. So that's why we, the Eritreans who live in outside of our home country, because we have a luxury, we have a chance, we have an opportunity to work and campaign and lobby actively and without fear, for example, in Canada. So we organized it. We wrote several letters to government officials about not only about the Eritrean refugees who are living in Israel, even about the 2% tax the Eritrean government used to levy against the Eritreans who live in abroad, even about the Neptun, the company's involvement in the gold mining company. So the Eritrean diaspora have many roles to play. Unfortunately, we are not using, you know, the platform as we wish, even though we have started, but we have a long way to go in order to use all those leverage. Because last time, for example, the nonprofit organization, which is a grassroots movement, No One Is Illegal, played a wonderful role, you know, in demonstrating in solidarity with the Eritrean refugees in Israel. And there are also many organizations that we can work with them and use their leverage to be heard. And there are also government officials or members of parliament who really want to help this case. So the Eritrean diaspora have many roles to play. So, because, you know, about 25% of Eritreans, they live in abroad now, mm-hmm. just because of this situation. Mm-hmm. So if every individual is able to do even a little thing, believe me, we can bring some crucial change in the way the Israelis treating Eritrean refugees, or in the way the Eritrean government is treating its own people badly. So we can bring some change, but unfortunately we have to coordinate our effort, because we are not doing that right now. So we have to do more lobby, even interview, like the opportunities that you are giving us, because many people have to know what is going on in Eritrea, yeah. in order to help us. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it is very difficult for them to support you if they don't know what is going on.
Great.
So we have a long way to go.
That's unfortunately all the time we have today, Aaron, but this is not where we're going to stop the discussion. We're hoping that we can continue this discussion with you in the weeks and in the months to come and be able, as you said, to participate in kind of organizing some sort of coming together of Eritreans and of other Africans in terms of getting this message across, of making the Canadian and the Israeli government aware of their complicity within the atrocities that are going on with Eritrean and migrants in Israel. So thank you very much for joining us, and we'll be definitely speaking to you again.
Thank you, Omni, for the opportunity.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Erin speaking to us today about a recent protest that happened here in Toronto in solidarity with Eritrean and African migrants in Israel who were protesting against repressive laws that the Israeli government has implemented, anti-infiltration laws against African migrants in Israel. This is Amandala, An African Perspective. We'd like to thank you for listening in today. Remember, you can catch our archives at africanperspectives.tumblr.com or send us an email, africanperspectives@chry.fm. And we'll join you again next week. Stay tuned for Pushkar up next.
Inside bus, them go day. Motorcycle, them the ride. Plenty, plenty crowd. Inside this crowd. Sometimes for one corner. Sometimes for one street. You go day here. Workers, the labor workers, workers, workers. Them go day worker. Inside bus, them go day. Motorcycle, them they ride. Plenty, plenty crowd.